Welcome back into our Treasure Chest Thursday. It is October 24th. Hanging out with you till 7 o'clock. That's when Thursday Night Football comes on this evening. We ended last hour talking about the Saints injury report. Want to dive back into that real quick, quickly. Some, you know, great developments for this team that we know is so banged up right now. Chris Olave, Taysom Hill, Cesar Ruiz, all upgraded today to full participants after being limited yesterday. Also, full go for this team, center Connor McGovern. He was dealing with the back issue, a full go. The only thing different also from yesterday, downgraded, was wide receiver Cedric Wilson Jr. dealing with a hip issue, was limited yesterday and was a do-not practice today.
I said, veteran, you need that extra
day off.
A
little extra day off. Hopefully he gets back in the mix.
My bad hip and back and everything.
Definitely happy to welcome back in with us. He missed last week taking a nice vacation, a well-deserved vacation. And Rodney Miller, Treasure Chest Casino Director of Marketing. How you been, Rodney? Thanks for joining us.
Oh, doing well. Good to have y'all back. Good to be back up here talking with y'all inside the game.
You know, we're in the game, baby.
Yeah. No, this is the time of year right now where it's amazing to have a place like this finally, you know.
So much going on, right?
Exactly. Awesome, you know, the Pelicans last night, you know, and I mean, what better time where you have pretty much every major sport going on, you know.
All at one time.
Exactly. You know, and it's just heating up now with college football, but, you know, that's what's been exciting over here to see it. You know, we're jam-packed on, you know, Saturdays with Saints games, both LSU games, with Sundays with Saints games, and now you got Pelicans, you know, peppered through throughout the week, and I love it. It's awesome.
No, I'm jealous of, like, we're set up here, great spot and all, but those reclining chairs by the TVs at the sportsbook is a really sweet setup.
Oh, yeah. No, that's prime real estate up there.
Yeah, and, for sure.
Yeah, you got the table right in front of you. You got your spread of food, you know, your drinks, and, yeah, just recline back and watch every game possible because, all those teams have everything going on. And, you know, we have UFC coming up, and we're going to have those. Mike Tyson, Paul fight in November. That's a big one, you know, coming up. You know, it's a little novelty fight, but, you know, we're getting a lot of interest
Tons
on
of
that.
Interest for sure.
You know, you put Mike Tyson back in the ring. Hey, let's see what
People
happens.
Gonna
you never
watch.
Knew in the past, you know.
People going to watch.
Definitely.
We were talking about it, Rodney, that, man, on Saturdays when LSU plays, how this place is packed.
Rocking.
Because people don't realize that, okay, they say, you know, New Orleans Saints Town, and it is, and it really is when the Saints are winning. But they got as many LSU fans in the city of New Orleans and in Metairie, Kansas, as they do Saints fans. And when they winning, man, they rocking here. And so you guys got this packed pretty good. Now, it takes away from the casino a little bit because everybody wants to be watching the game.
Hey, we got a little of everything.
So, that's
you know,
it.
You take
that's
a break it. From the casino, you come on in here, or if this is the only thing you want to do that day. You know, it's just good that we have a good mix of things, you know, going on in your steakhouse next door. You know, it's a great just experience, and that's what's exciting.
No, I told my wife it's kind of like an adult Dave and Buster's to me. There's just so much to do for
Chuck E.
You know,
Cheese.
The older folks to get involved.
And the steakhouse is awesome too, man. You know,
They're doing great over there. Right now, we're I think we talked about it last time. All the restaurants right now are kind of revamping their menu for the fall. So they're about to release some new menu items to kind of keep it fresh, keep it new, kind of keep it to the season. Drinks in here, too. You know, they expanded the menu. And I thought it was crazy. I think they have a lot of good things to offer in here. But, you know, more pizzas, more sandwiches, you know, more small bites to kind of just, you know, keep you busy while the game's going on. So there's no reason that you got to step away, and that's beautiful.
And come in February, kind of the overflow, but what's going to happen for the Super Bowl? Because, I mean, not everybody can stay in the city of New Orleans, and so this is going to be a spot, too, that you're going to – that if you have a hotel in the city, here in Kenner and everything, come on, you can come down here. You can have a good time to gamble, or if you want to get great food, you have it here also. So it's a little bit of an over kind of lap from – the Super Bowl barrage that we'll see for 2 weeks in New Orleans.
Yeah. And that's one of the good things, too, is, you know, being partnered with FanDuel. We've been having conversations with them, and they're going to look to do some stuff that is going to be over here as well. And you bring that into the mix, You know, we hope to bring that excitement that's going to be downtown over here. You know, have FanDuel behind that, which is going to be fun.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's definitely great. And, yeah, you just look all around here. If you want to make a wager on a sports, any sports going on right now, you've got the sports book right here and then also the kiosks out on the floor as well.
Yeah. And it makes it in quick and easy to come in.
Easy peasy,
yes.
Right.
I see one of the guys right here, he's a regular. So he loses money over here. Not all the time. Yeah, you said it right. Not all the time. So that's all good. But Rodney, I think too is, I told you, man, I'm surprised. So many people here on a Thursday. And you said that sort of varies a little bit that some days you're like, wow. Okay, it's Tuesday. Man, look at all the folks here. And maybe a day you think you'd have a lot, maybe not as much. Goes to show kind of the gaming world. Somebody had told me one time, you never can predict it.
No, yeah. Never
can predict it.
It ebbs and flows, you know, kind of like sports. You never can predict anything. But we're in a great area, the neighborhood around us. You know, we kind of built that community and being a part of that community. And it's, you know, we talked about the first time we got here is when it's a little easier to get in, you don't have to catch that shuttle, you know.
Yeah, right.
It makes sense to come on a Tuesday now, you know, and that's what we're excited about. And now you can come and have a, you know, even if it's just you want to come in and eat, you know, have a quick bite. You know, that's one of the things. But, you know, on the way out, you might stop and sit down for a little while on the slot machine.
The thing about the game, which really makes it great here, is the fact that now, basically, other than a Wednesday, you got football every night of the week. Now, they have a Tuesday game. Every once in a while, they throw in a Wednesday.
Yeah.
But Thursday, Friday, and then all the way through to the next Tuesday, and you can watch it here. Now that basketball is cranked up,
basketball comes in.
That's another deal. And the World Series.
That's what I said. It's a perfect time. You got NHL. I'm not the hockey person.
NHL too, right?
It's there as well. So, yeah, that's why, I mean, I look at that screen sometimes, and it's like you got to – they're all over the place.
An overload of everything,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And, I mean, it's amazing and it's fun. And then, yeah, just thinking ahead in December now with, you know, the way college football will be with all
the playoff
games and stuff, that's going to be fun because, you know, before – that was always a very exciting week, you know, that when those bowl games come in, and it's just going to be an extra flavor. And, you know, hopefully we got LSU in that mix, and that's just going to be.
Hopefully that'll be the case. And a lot of people, like the last 2 weeks of the year, they're off.
Yeah. You know,
people have vacation time or whatever, or wherever they work, and they may not work the last 2 weeks of December. And so this is a place to be right over here at the Treasure Chest. And, man, come on down to the game, and you can see everything here, all the games, great food here, also drink specials. You can drop you a few dimes along the way.
Yeah.
And
tables and slots is always there.
And that is sort of morph too, because you know, I've done stuff, and we started, man, Buddy and I, geez, over 30 years ago, and how that has changed throughout the years now.
Oh yeah, no, it's you know, I think, you know, at one time table games was very dominant, and slots,
yes.
You know, slots has come into a mix of, you know, there's so many different varieties and bonuses, and I mean, there's even table games on the slot side as well. You can play electronically, a virtual dealer. there's a lot for every kind of style of play, and you know, you can sit down and you know, kind of escape for a little while. I think that's kind of what it's all about.
It's entertainment.
It's
part of entertainment. Get away from the hustle and bustle of life.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Rodney, always appreciate your time. Thank you so much for joining us. Everybody here is so hospitable. Really enjoy our time here. Appreciate
it. No question about it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Rodney.
It
appreciate it, buddy.
We are taking a break here on WWO Sports Talk at the Treasure Chest Casino. Come by, say hi. Drop some money on the sports book. Put a game wager on Thursday night football, LSU football. You got Pels basketball, Saints football, you name
Tulane
it.
Tulane football.
Yeah, there you go, right.
There'll be Tulane basketball, LSU basketball.
And look,
that's right around the corner, too.
Oh, taking a break. Be right back with more sports talk. Stay tuned right after this on WWL. Back here on Sports Talk at the Treasure Chest Casino. Mike, we were kind of joking with all the sports going on right now. TVs everywhere has something on, and I just look up and I see there's a tennis match going on right now. Where the heck's that being played?
Well, you want me to put your money at, Steve.
Well, happy to welcome in now talking football with Dalton Wasserman, PFF data analyst and co-host of the PFF College Football Show. Dalton, thank you so much for the time. How you doing this football season, man?
Oh, fantastic. One good weekend after another. It feels like every week we get so much action between the NFL and college. It's been great.
Yes, indeed. And obviously we're locked in on black and gold football Sundays here. The Saints had a great start to the season. Been rough the last couple games, the last five to be exact. Trying to rebound this week against a Chargers squad. Man, that defense is pretty impressive. But the offense right now, not so much. What are you thinking or seeing, at least in this matchup, Saints-Chargers Sunday in L.A.?
Yeah, I think you're right. Certainly likely to be a low-scoring game, right, because the Chargers, they've played things close to the vest. Jim Harbaugh's really gone in there with Jesse Minter and fixed up that defense, and they're playing closer to the talent level that they've had the last few years. But the last few years they didn't execute. Now they're going in there executing, playing really hard-nosed football on defense, really good on the defensive line, of course, with Khalil Mack and Joey Bosa. And just more fundamentally sound and physical, right? And I think that's what Harbaugh wanted to get in there and play better defense, run the football, which they've done in spurts this year. The offense still inconsistent. Sometimes they find those explosive runs and they get Ladd McConkey going in the passing game. But this is going to be a physical, low-scoring football game for sure. And the Saints kind of need it that way, the way their offense has been playing, to be honest with you.
Dalton, on tonight's game, Vikings, Rams. The Rams certainly have been ravaged with a lot of injuries. And I know Derrick Henry took a big sip out of the fountain of youth, but Aaron Jones, he got a pretty good glass full too, the way he's been playing for the Vikings. Your thoughts on the game tonight between the Rams and the Vikings?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, Aaron Jones has brought a really good amount of balance to that offense. And when he's healthy and that offense is balanced and Darnold can get into the play-action stuff that Kevin O'Connell loves, they've been really, really efficient. But I think the biggest factor in this exact matchup is just all of the stuff that Brian Flores brings, and all the blitzes and all the exotic stuff he brings on defense to a Rams offensive line that's really been struggling with injuries and struggling to pass protect near the bottom of the league and pretty much every pass-blocking metric that we have. So I think it's really going to be on Stafford to get rid of the ball quickly, and they got to stay out of third and longs before Flores can get into all that fun stuff he does on defense.
Yeah, he's a master of it, man, and he comes from every different way as far as trying to get pressure. This is a kind of a playoff college football game within a game as LSU plays Texas A&M and College Station this weekend. Your thoughts on the Tigers and A&M? Both of them got off to a rough start, but like Usain Bolt, it looks like they've hit a little bit of stride. And man, the winner of this game has got a pretty good path to get himself in the 12-team playoff. Not to say the loser won't, but the winner is certainly in the driver's seat.
No, you're right. It's a massive game, and it's a massive game because you mentioned the loser. The loser of this game is going to have a second loss, and that pretty much takes away any breathing room you have left, right? I don't think we're going to see a three-loss team, I should say, in the playoff, but no, this is a really interesting matchup. I think maybe the most even matchup of the entire weekend because you've got LSU. And the one thing I like with LSU, their defense the last couple weeks has finally showed up, right? It felt like for the last year and a half, there was just so many explosive plays, so many issues on the defense. I mean, obviously had the Heisman Trophy winner last year, but still lost three games because they gave up so many points on defense. But that's starting to get together in the secondary and even in the pass rush a little bit with their pass defense. That was the biggest weakness for LSU. And Garrett Nussmeier, I got to be honest with you, he's steady as it gets. He's the same guy every single week. He's tough as nails in the pocket. He makes big throws. So I think you're seeing LSU get a little more balanced. And Texas A&M is trying to get there, right? Their defense has been pretty good. They've been running the ball well. But this game may come down to whether or not Connor Wigman for Texas A&M at quarterback can match what Nussmeier does at quarterback for LSU, because Texas A&M, there's times this season where they've looked one-dimensional. It's only been the run game working for them. And they may need a few big plays in the pass game to get to counter this LSU defense to win it.
He would be getting a lot more publicity if he were playing at an LSU or an Ohio State or, say, Southern Cal. But what Ashton Dentry has done this year, my God, for Boise State. And so you got to be up or you got a little coin on Boise State to watch. But to see how dominant he is. And, okay, when you're going up against them, you know what they're going to do, and you try to stop it. But what Ashton has done has been remarkable. And it's sort of gotten, overlooked by a lot of people of his talent at that running back position. Also, he's a really good receiver coming out of the backfield. But your thoughts on him as a player, because he's a tilt-the-field guy.
No, he's incredible. I got to be honest with you. I think he's one of the best college backs that I've ever watched. And we had a shot a long time before on our college football show before the season to interview him. And he always said, he said to us he wants to run with the power of Marshawn Lynch, the balance of Alvin Kamara, and the receiving ability of Christian McCaffrey. And I'll tell you what, we have seen at certain points in his career, and certainly right now, he shows all three of those things. I mean, he is just an incredible football player. And Boise State, what a huge game they're playing tomorrow against UNLV in Las Vegas. That could honestly decide the Group of Five playoff spot. I think Jinty's been so good. If they can get, I think especially if Boise State finds their way into that top 12 at the end of the year, I really think he could win a Heisman Trophy. It's incredible stuff he's doing, and I really think he's barreling towards a first-round selection in next year's draft.
Think about Illinois in college football. I don't think anybody would have thought they'd be in this position today, but they have played some really good football, and, you know, their coach man, he was down south for a little while. He knew what he was doing, and then they got a little antsy with him. But has Illinois been as big a surprise to you as maybe for a lot of people in college football?
Yeah, honestly, I mean, we've seen so many surprise teams this year. It's been so much fun to watch. And Illinois is a team that I don't see get talked about as much. But I'll tell you what, even this game against Oregon, I don't think it's a freebie win for Oregon by any means. Look, Illinois, the first thing they did in the offseason was get a couple of transfer tackles in there and make their offensive line a lot better, because it was too many times last year where they couldn't block anybody. It didn't give them a chance to function as an offense. Once they could start pass protecting, then Luke Altmyer at quarterback starts playing well. They got a couple of really good receivers on the outside. They run a fun, aggressive defense. You know, Brett Bielema's always got a physical team. So they've been a lot of fun to watch this year as well. I mean, all the way up, I really didn't think we'd get to a point where Illinois would be number 20 in the country this year, but here we are. I mean, just one of the many surprises. They've been a really fun team to watch all year.
In the NFC South, the weekend, Atlanta and Tampa Bay, and ooh, yeah, you talk about devastation at receiver, and you can say next man up, but that next man, he ain't close to, you know, Chris Godwin or Mike Evans in that spot. It puts a lot of pressure on maybe getting the ball out more to the running backs coming out of the backfield. Your thoughts in Atlanta? They Jekyll and Hyde. One game they play really good on defense, and they scored. And in the next game, like we saw last Sunday, they were lousy. Man, Seattle beat them every which way but loose in that game. But your thoughts on this Sunday's game between the Falcons and the Bucks?
Yeah, it's definitely a weird one. I'll start with the Bucks because I think I also just saw something that Bucky Irving, a running back, may not play for the Bucks either, and he's really been their most consistent back this year. So the Bucks are short on weapons, and their defense has really been struggling in coverage lately, and that's the matchup. That's the matchup for me. That's the big thing, because as far as the Falcons go, I think you put it great when you mentioned a Jekyll and Hyde kind of thing going on there, because the games where Kirk Cousins has been able to make throws down the field, make vertical throws, big plays down the field, they have won. And the games where they get kind of stuck in this 5 to 10 yard bubble and he's checking down constantly and they don't find big plays, it's too plodding. It's working too slow. It's only 4 or 5 yards at a time. It takes them too long to score. Right, it's great to have your running game and your short passing game going, but eventually you got to do something explosive. You saw that against Seattle last week. They just weren't explosive, especially early in the game. So if Cousins can make those vertical plays down the field, and of course we saw him throw for 500 yards this the first time against Tampa, so it's entirely possible. That's really the X factor for the Falcons, but I do like the Falcons in that matchup. The Bucks, I mean, those are huge injuries you're talking about with Evans and Godwin, and if Bucky Irving's out now too, I mean, the running game takes a hit as well. It's going to be a really tough task for Tampa.
Dalton, I really feel like PFF, Pro Football Focus, has just elevated the game when it comes to covering all things football, college, NFL, fantasy football, just great data analytics you guys have going on the website. Just what's going on right now, some of the premium stats that I know that PFF Plus has available too.
Yeah, I mean the premium stats. So anytime you hear about the PFF grades or any of the data that we use, you can see all of that. less than $10 a month. You can go on our website, access all of that. You mentioned the fantasy. We got a boatload of fantasy tools that, I'll be honest with you, last year I won my league using them. So I can tell you the fantasy tools work. We got betting tools now for people who are into that sort of thing. NFL, college, we even got into the UFL this past year. We graded those games too. I mean, we get into everything, but no, I mean, our data team, our data collection team, they're so good. I did it for a few years, and it's just going down twice through the tape of every single game that we watch and breaking everything down with, you know, with the broadcast at first, with the All 22. It's just great data. It's a great tool to have. So you get on there with that PFF Plus subscription, you'll be the smartest guy in the room for sure.
Awesome stuff for sure. And I'm curious too, another local game that we have interest in, Tulane taking on North Texas Mean Green. How do you see this matchup? Because John Summerall's first year with the Green Wave is pretty impressive so far.
Man, North Texas is bad on defense. I can tell you that. They can score points, yeah. But man, they are bad on defense.
Yeah, you just hit the nail right on. I mean, I've seen a handful of North Texas games this year. And look, they're high-flying. I'll be real with you. On offense, Chandler Morris and that offense can really go. They can score a ton of points in a hurry. But you mentioned it. Their defense is a real struggle. And you would think the way that they've been playing and they really struggle to tackle, that Mekhi Hughes would have a huge day against that team. And he's going to need to. Honestly, it's really been a thing, this offense for Tulane. It's Mekhi Hughes and it's play action. And Darian Menso's been great in play action. He's really complimented the system well and complimented Hughes being the engine of it. But I think Hughes could be in for a huge week. North Texas really struggles to run defend. They struggle to tackle. Tulane needs to control the clock, control the big plays on defense, because Chandler Morris is a big play hunter, former starter at TCU. He's a really good quarterback, and you don't want to fall behind North Texas from giving up explosive plays. So I think Hughes does control the game. I do like Tulane in that game, but it could go any which way because North Texas can really score.
Your thoughts on Alabama at this stage, two-loss Alabama team, and my old buddy Pete Jenkins, who's coached defensive line for 50 years, told me this. Like, Mike, I'm going to tell you something. Nick Saban won more fourth-quarter games than anybody in the history of college football. It's not going to be what they do 1-3. It's going to be what happens in the fourth quarter and how Alabama people are going to take the fact. They're not going to win all those games in the fourth quarter like Nick. He always had something sort of up his sleeve that he could throw at you that was a little different, and bang, we've seen it now. Two losses. Do they bounce back this week?
I do think they bounce back this week, in part because, one, they're playing another team in Missouri who has not played their best football. I know their record, they only have one loss, but they haven't really executed to their full potential all year. And now you've got some serious injury situations. It's looking like Brady Cook, their quarterback, is going to be out. Nate Noel, their leading rusher, is going to be out. And they weren't executing with those guys on the field. So I do really heavily lean towards Alabama this week. But their entire season is going to come down to that game when they go down there and play in Death Valley at LSU. That's really what it's going to come down to, is they're either going to win that game and they're going to set a course for themselves to go 10-2 and get in the playoff, or they're going to lose it, and they're not. You're going to hear a whole lot of controversy now at Alabama with Kalen DeBoer. So I do think they get it done this week. Missouri's banged up. Missouri's been struggling even when they weren't banged up. You saw the beating they took against Texas A&M, and they just have not played their best football all season. I trust Alabama and Milroe more than Missouri, but we will see what happens when they get down to LSU, because that's the game of their season. They're either going to win it or lose it, and we're going to find out the hard way.
Dalton, awesome stuff. Thank you so much for the time. Appreciate it, and we'll be talking soon, man.
Thank you, Dalton. Appreciate it.
Anytime. Appreciate you having me on. Thank you.
All right.
Dalton Wasserman, PFF data analyst and co-host of the PFF College Football Show. We shall take a break, and when we return, we'll get into our triple option segment right here on WWL after the break. We're back here on Sports Talk here at the Treasure Chest Casino inside the game. Bar and grill getting ready. Thursday night football about to kick off 7 o'clock. You can hear that WWLAMFM.com. And, of course, the free Odyssey app. Check that out there. Time to get into our triple option feature, gents, when we get into some of the top stories around the league today and, give our insights, opinions on things. And for me, what really stands out, guys, the Saints injury report, huge positive, obviously, with the likes of a Taysom Hill being a full go for this team. I think a key cog for this offense, and so important to get things rolling again. Obviously, Taysom's availability to play just about anywhere on the field, the toughness that he runs with, and just the overall kind of you know, that energy he brings will, I think, help boost this team, obviously on a tough road trip to L.A. against a Charger squad that's struggled up and down this season, but definitely been stout on defense. I think you're going to need that physicality of Taysom on Sunday.
I agree with you also. Hopefully Pete Werner can play.
Oh, yeah.
Because I think that combination of him and DeMario, they got everybody in place. The one thing with Pete, first time, I remember we watching practice, and Bob was like, Mike, is that Pete Werner? I was like, yeah. He's playing the wrong position. He looks like a safety.
Yeah.
And he really did. I mean, you know, he doesn't have a lot of bulk to him, but he's smart. He knows how to tackle. He takes good angles to the ball carrier. And they need him back in the lineup. And I do think that cohesion between him and DeMario, you can see it out on the field. So hopefully this week, Taysom, along with Pete Werner, can get back in the lineup and help a football team. Now, the Chargers are struggling on offense. They've had 16 straight possessions. They haven't scored a touchdown. That's a long stretch.
El Stinko, right?
Man, Steve, that's bad. But my deal for the day is the Detroit Lions have scored more touchdowns, 18, than Jared Goff has had incompletions with 15 over the past four games. Think of that.
Jared Goff, man.
Jared Goff, more touchdowns scored than incompletions, 18 to 15.
You're going to have him in the MVP conversation.
Well, look, they continue to win. He might be. He might well be in that conversation.
And consider many thought he was like the throwaway in that trade with the Rams.
Yeah, because I think a lot of people thought with the Stafford deal, he would be one and done.
Right.
You know, sort of play his 1 year to contract, and then they'd cut him loose. He'd go somewhere else. Man, Jared Goff is playing at a really high level for the Lions. Now, I will say this. That offensive line he got, I'd want to play behind that one, too. And, man, he got a running game and some really good receivers. But taking nothing away from Goff, he has been so efficient this year running that offense for the Lions.
Charlie, what you got for us back in studio?
Guys, I want to go with the Pelicans injury news. It's been terrible. Obviously, the last 6 years between San Antonio and Atlanta, DeJounte Murray. I'm going to give you some numbers here. Games played 81, 66, 67, 68, 74, and 78. Last year, a career high in games started at 78 with the Atlanta Hawks. DeJounte Murray's availability has been one of his strengths, his durability as well. And in the first game in a Pelicans uniform, he suffers the fractured hand. Mike, you talked about it earlier on. The general timeline that we'll be looking at is maybe a couple months here, so maybe upwards of 8 weeks. So that's obviously awful news because, you know, even though he didn't shoot very well, you could tell the offense was looking really good with him leading the way as a true point guard. And then the other news that came out about Trey Murphy, he suffered that right hamstring strain back on October 2nd, and they reported today that he'll be reevaluated in 2 weeks. So we all love that phrase, the reevaluated in 2 weeks. It kind of became a meme a couple years ago, and it's back. So if you're looking at Trey Murphy, he's kind of ramping up, getting ready to go from that right hamstring strain he suffered early in October. And if you're looking at his potential timeline, you know, 2 weeks puts it at basically November 7th, which is technically an off day for the Pelicans, and that's just an approximate, right? So if you're looking at when he could potentially return, I would say maybe the earliest would be around November 11th, which would be against the Brooklyn Nets. So he's probably going to miss maybe the first dozen games of the season, and then DeJounte Murray is going to be out for an extended period of time. So even though the Pelicans took down the Bulls in what was a very fun performance last night, there is the bad news with DeJounte, and then obviously the news we got today about Trey Murphy's kind of rehashed timeline.
The positive news is right. Zion's back on the court. Now, again, listen, when you're sick, you're sick. That's the way I look at it. Anybody who's ever had kids, grandkids, okay, when somebody's sick to the point where they can't be out on the court, okay, you're sick, you're sick.
Right, you don't think Zion's dying to get out there for the season opener?
No, he won't be out there for the season opener. Injuries are one thing. Sometimes I think that gets extended like the rubber band. But come on, when you're sick, you're sick. And my thing about it is having him on the court. And Jen Hale and I talked about this yesterday, and you think about how many games they play in the NBA. But he can take over a good 25% of those games all by himself when he is cranked up and he's healthy. We saw at the end of the year just how dominant a player he was out on the court. Again, that's always going to be that question because he's had some breakdowns injury-wise. But, man, people make such a big thing about he missed one game because he's sick.
Right, pump the brakes.
Yeah, that was overreaction. That was panic because it was the first game. It was like, oh, here we go again. No, Zion's fine. The DeJounte stuff is what people should be kind of panicking
about.
No,
that I'd be much more concerned. I agree with you, Charlie, 2,000%, because when you're talking about, you know, maybe 2 months without having the guy that you really were counting on as being
right,
your facilitator.
You kind of thought would solidify everything, right?
And not there. That's going to be tough. And, again, we're not going to see Mise make all those plays game to game either. It was encouraging to see it and to see this young puppy. Man, he got some talent.
Taking a break here on Sports Talk. We are live at the Treasure Chest Casino inside the Game Bar and Grill as we gear up for Thursday Night Football. We will return after these messages on WWL right after this. Closing out this hour of Sports Talk, I want to remind everybody, tomorrow night on WWL, you got a choice. Catch the New Orleans Pelicans taking on the Portland Trailblazers. Pre-games 8:30, tip-off 9 on the big 870 WWL. Or you can keep listening to Friday Night Lights, the All-State Sugar Bowl Prep Football Roundup on WWL FM 105.3, WWL.com, and the free Odyssey app. Coming back with more sports talk from the Treasure Chest Casino. Talking baseball after the break, right here after this.